Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike DeTellier along with Charlie Long in studio. We have a full show today at 420. Babe Laufenberger covers the Dallas Cowboys and knows Kellen Moore really well. He will join us at 420, I think Charlie is right.
Yes, sir, 420. And then we got the legendary Pete Jenkins coming on at 520.
At 520, my old buddy Pete Jenkins. Pete actually coached quite a while with Andy Reid, and he's been a consultant with Andy all these years, coaching the defensive line with the Chiefs. Got some great stories about Andy. He's also coached three of the defensive linemen for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, specifically, I can't wait to ask him about Jalen Carter, Mike. That's the one that I really want to hear from him, because when we were talking with Mark Schlereth back on Tuesday, and it's just the mean streak that this guy's plays with, but also the amount of snaps that he plays. He plays, like, I think Mark said 98% of the snaps.
Yeah, I knew it was over 95, and
he's a beast.
When he wants to, he can take over a game, and I think arguably, right now, he's the best defensive tackle in pro football. He plays the run better than Chris Jones does.
Right.
You watch Chris Jones at times with the Chiefs. They take him out in obvious running situations.
They also move Chris a little bit as well.
He's a little bit more versatile.
Right. And as far as just a strictly, like, all-around defensive tackle, Mike, I agree with you. I think it's Jalen Carter. He's just been a monster. And, you know, he's talking about that mean streak. You saw what he did to Washington, right? Like, those poor offensive guards and centers that were going up against him. Man, they must have been taking a heavy ice bath
and
after
Bobby and I saw it for the Eagles-Saints game. Man, at the end of the game, he was challenging the whole Saints bench to
a fight.
Oh,
yeah, he was.
I mean, he wanted to take them all on. I don't know what they did him, and I would suspect somebody tried to cut him, you know, go low on him, and that really gets under his skin, but good. And so we'll have Pete on to talk about Jalen Carter, everybody involved. Nolan Smith's another guy that, man, when Pete was there, Pete said he looked like a receiver. He's so rail thin. And look how, year one, not much of an impact. How big of an impact he's had today.
Yeah.
And we'll get Pete's take on that. Also, he's really good friends with Steve Spagnuolo. What a change of when he was the coordinator here with the Saints. They would had the worst defense and statistically goes down as one of the worst in the history of the National Football League. And now look what he's, oh man, on the verge of being on a three-peat as the defensive coordinator, because Andy lets him run it. You know, Andy's not involved in defensive play calling. Andy runs the offense. Spags runs the defense. So we'll get him on that. Also, we'll have at 5:40 Jeff Nowak from the Senior Bowl out in Mobile. Interesting there where Jackson Dart is getting a lot of kind of prying eyes on him.
Every year there's one, Mike. Every year there's one quarterback that starts to make a late surge.
And he looked El Lazio Tuesday. Man, he was sailing them.
Yeah.
But then yesterday, you saw the Jackson Dart. And you can understand, day one, a lot of it is somewhat nerves. And also, you have not kind of worked with the receivers ever.
He's a three-year starter at Ole Miss, huh, Mike?
Yeah, and he started a half a year at USC.
Yes.
But then, you know, when Lincoln Riley got there, you know, he was like, oh, Caleb Williams coming here? What's my chances of starting over here now? It's time for me to get out of here.
Right.
He's a former Gatorade Player of the Year in Utah. Was a great baseball player. People don't know that about Jackson. Dart, man, fantastic baseball player. Got really good eye-hand coordination. But it's the transition of running what he ran at Ole Miss, which is not traditional, and playing in the NFL. Man, Jackson Dart is a guy, varying opinions on him where he'll go. But I've had people tell me they got him on their board like a mid-first.
Oh, wow.
And some people say, you know, I think he'll last midway into round two. But it's going to be in that range that Jackson Dart, late in the year, and what he's done at the Senior Bowl has really, really helped himself. And, again, I repeat it, Mason Taylor. I'm just telling everybody that, you know, people, oh, second, third round pick, he ain't lasting that long. Don't be surprised. At the end of round one, that Mason Taylor gets picked. If not, I think he'll be an early second-round pick. I think the comparison to Mason Taylor is going to be Sam Laporta.
Whoa.
And he's a better receiver than Sam was coming out of Iowa. Sam was a better blocker.
Okay. Wow. No, that's incredible. No, Mike, so the tight end class this year, we've talked about it as kind of one of the underrated parts. Like, everyone knows that this D-line class is kind of loaded. But the tight end spot, it's not as good
really
as
good.
What you said a couple years ago, you know, the Dalton Kincaid, Sam Laporta class. But this year's class with Colston Loveland and Tyler Warren, and Mason Taylor's your number three guy, huh?
Yeah, and Elijah
Arroyo from Miami.
Man,
he's if you're talking about,
you can't hide him no more.
The people that are showing out in Mobile, Elijah Arroyo has had back-to-back great days. I haven't looked at really the tape or anything from today, but I mean, he's showing out, Mike. And he was one of those.
I was showing you the tape on how open he was because you said you had read about no contested catches, and I showed you no, there is none.
So that's the thing that I had heard about Elijah Arroyo is that he had great production, great yards per catch, average and all that, and the touchdown production was there as well. The thing that kind of stood out to me was just like, why doesn't this dude, like, he's got good size, why doesn't he have contested catches? And then you watch Miami play, and the way that they played last year with Cam Ward, where he would just extend these plays, and then Elijah would just find these open spaces downfield, Cam would find them, and it's an easy chunk play.
Man, we talk about even beyond high school open.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I showed you a couple plays. He's like 8 or 9 yards away from the first defender. Then that was that play at the goal line where Cam, like, stuck it out like he was going to have a little read option, and he pulls it back at the last second. You can see the running back trying to grab the football, and he throws it to Elijah. Right, he's right there at the goal line. Nobody around him.
So Elijah Arroyo, Mason Taylor are kind of your 4 and 3 behind two guys that are going to be clear-cut first-round picks. Tyler Warren might be going to the top 15 from Penn State. I'm telling you,
Colston Loveland.
And Colston's right behind him.
He's right there with him. Now, he didn't get showcased at Michigan because, man, they didn't have a guy that could get him the ball. But when he is going to work out, people are going to say, wow, that guy can play. He's a tall drink of water, big target receiver downfield. He's a good route runner. We know he can block as an inline blocker at Michigan. He's solid in that category. And I know Jim Harbaugh raved about him, absolutely raved about how good of a player he thought Colston Loveland could be. I'll put it to you this way. If he's there when the Chargers pick in round one, he won't be there to pick after.
Yeah, I feel the same way about Tyler Warren, too, Mike. Tyler Warren just seems like a Jim Harbaugh type of player. He's kind of an old school, like, you know, he's so fun to watch. And he was fantastic at Penn State. He really made that leap that everyone was anticipating.
He is kind of college football's version of Taysom Hill.
Yeah, I agree. He was a former quarterback, converted, you know, tight end.
Running back, fullback, tight end. Even was a deep snapper on special teams, ran downfield. Because Rich Marty was, Mike, people don't get early in his career, he was a great special teams player for Penn State. They flanked him out as a receiver at times because they didn't want, you know, heavy traffic around him, so they put him out as a wide receiver. Think of that. You a 250-pound tight end, and they flank you out as a receiver, but you could play fullback, running back, tight end, wide receiver. You've played some wildcat quarterback. You've been a deep snapper. You've played on special teams. Man, that's a lot of spots to fill.
One team is going to draft Tyler Warren, and it's just going to get a boon to their offense. Now, you know, my point that I've been making for a couple of years now, I want the Saints to draft a tight end, Mike. I've been begging them to draft a tight end for years.
I wish they'd have done it 2 years ago.
Do it this year. Do it this year. This is a good tight end class. If you want to trade back from 9 and get a Tyler Warren or a Colston Loveland, do that. If you want to take a guy at the start of day 2, whether it be Mason Taylor or Elijah Arroyo, do that. They need to invest in the tight end position. They need to invest in a lot of positions, to be fair. But
every position.
Yeah, I agree. There's a good amount of stud tight ends in the early on in this draft class, and I would love to snag one of them.
I agree with you, Charlie, and I think this is the year you grab yourself one. Also, you need a bigger target receiver. I would love, man, that to be Jack Besh.
Yeah.
Because I think in the right system, Jack Besh can really help you.
Because I don't think Tet McMillan's going to be there, Mike.
Man, getting him to 9 is going to be tough. He might not make it to 9.
There's too many teams ahead of the Saints from 1 to 8 that, yes, they may have like offensive linemen.
I see people have like Luther Burden ahead. What?
No, come on.
You ain't watched this.
No.
Tet McMillan, he's built to play in the NFL as a big target guy. Charlie, I agree with you. The other thing, too, I've seen a lot of this Mason Graham. I wish But he ain't going to be there either when the Saints
pick. I don't think he's falling out of the top five, Mike.
I think he'll be five or six
is
where he's going to go. We come back. Babe Laufenberger, who color analyst for the Dallas Cowboys, knows Kellen Moore real well. We'll get his take on Kellen Moore right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Former NFL quarterback, now color analyst for the Dallas Cowboys. And I'm going to introduce Babe as Richie Pettibone used to tell me. Babe Laufenberger was the best preseason quarterback we ever had in Washington.
Wow, Richie Pettibone.
Richie.
Great defensive coordinator.
Yeah, Richie.
For Washington.
Yeah, we had him on last year, and we were talking about, you know, difference between preseason and regular season. And he was like, man, let me tell you something about Babe Laufenberger. He's the best preseason quarterback we ever had here in Washington.
Said, that's great. We had a little fun with that. You know, I was a cult hero up there. But by the definition of a cult, you're kind of on the fringe, right? You wanted to be the popular guy, not the cult guy.
But, man, Richie got some stories.
I sure will.
He tells me, Mike, I sleep until 11:30 in the morning, and then I don't go to bed until about 2:30. He said, what the hell do I have to wake up for?
Hey, I always remember when Bum Phillips, not Wade, Bum, got fired. He was on the Johnny Carson show.
Yeah.
Johnny said, what do you do now? He said, I really got nothing to do. He said, I got nowhere to go. And he said, I don't have to get there until noon tomorrow.
That sounds like exactly what Pettibone's doing now.
Yeah.
Babe, you got a chance to really get to know Kellen Moore. And all indications certainly point toward Kellen Moore being the guy. Now, Saints can't announce anything because, man, this team's been in enough trouble with the NFL. And we saw a couple years back, Jonathan Gannon goes to Arizona for the Super Bowl when they play in the Chiefs, and they have some talk there, and then they got caught tampering and draft choices stripped from. The last thing the Saints need is to have the NFL strip them of draft choices. They need as many as they can get their hands on. But your thoughts on what you've seen and your reaction to Kellen Moore and how he'll adjust to being – that's a big difference between being an assistant coach and a head coach. We talk about Richie, but it happened to him too.
Right. When he became a head coach, they weren't quite as good as they had been in Washington. And I don't know if it was his fault or, you know, players were getting older at that time for Washington. So you kind of think, oh, they're taking over this great team. But sometimes they have great names on the back of the jersey, but they're not the player they once were. Right. That happened to the Cowboys here, you know, those teams of the 90s.
Yeah.
They came out, you know, they're playing now in 99 and 2000, and you're like, wow, there's Emmitt, and there's this guy, and there's that guy. But they weren't, they still had the name on the back of the jersey, but they weren't the same player. Obviously, the NFL game it's a war of attrition on your body, and by that time, they kind of all got old together. But Kellen, getting to Kellen, I love him. I think he's a great coordinator. I know. Yeah, to make that next step, like you were talking with Richie Pettibone and anyone. You know, they're all first-time head coaches, right, at some point. Tom Landry was a first-time head coach. Don Shula was a first-time head coach. Now, I'm not saying that'll be Kellen, but the notion that, well, it's a first-time head coach, everybody's doing it for the first time at some point in their career. But I always say, too, you know, that a lot of people say, well, is this guy or that guy ready to command a room? And you're commanding half of the team already as a coordinator. If you were just, let's say, the quarterback coach and you get promoted and you're head coach, you'd say, whoa, that guy dealt with three guys every day in the room. Now you got to deal with 53. And so Kellen's dealt with half the room for his career, really, as a coordinator. And now he'll deal with the other half. It appears. But no, I'm a huge fan of Kellen. You look at the numbers that his teams have put up, the year he and Mike McCarthy parted ways, I don't want to say got fired, but it was certainly mutual. You know, they were fifth in the NFL in scoring that year. The year before, they were second in the NFL. This year in Philly, they're second in the NFL in points scored. So his offenses have always been good, and I've always liked the way he approaches it. Remember, he came from Boise State, and Boise State, back in the day, they were running more shifts and motions and all that stuff. They were more creative than probably 90% of the teams in the NFL. So he's kind of been schooled in that. Obviously was a 4-year starter at Boise, you know, and he's a winner. When he left, he had won more college games than any other quarterback in NCAA history. Now, they're all playing 7 or 8 years, and they've got about 120 starts under their belt. So I don't think he has that record anymore.
Babe, one of the things that impressed me about him, and I didn't know it, how it would react, was I think he had the reputation of being a pass-happy coach. But you know what? Sean Payton had that reputation, too, when he came out of Dallas. Because I know Parcells would always tell him, you got the virus. You got to learn how to run the ball every once in a while. And I see Kellen go to Philly. And, man, when I look at it, he adjusted his system, babe, to what Philly does best. And that is the fact that they were built to run the ball. Big offensive line, really talented up front, and you got Saquon Barkley running the football. And for me, that was impressive to watch him adjust from being a guy that really liked to throw it downfield, and they still do, but he adjusted his offense to the talent level with the Eagles today.
Okay, I'm going to get to that in a minute. You brought a big smile to my face. I know you can't see it when you talked about Bill Parcells telling Sean he's got the virus. Because I did Bill Parcells' TV show for 4 years, all 4 years when he was in Dallas.
Oh, goodness. Man, that must have been an adventure.
It was the greatest probably 4 years of my life. I mean, he'd come in. He would walk into the room. And I know we're not talking Parcells here, though. But he would walk into the room, and I'd be waiting for him, be at the desk. We stood up, taping the show. He'd walk in, and I mean, the minute he came through the door, he'd say, let's go. I got a lot on my plate. I don't have that easy TV job like you. Let's go. And then he would sit there, and he would BS for about 30 minutes. And then when he was ready to go, he'd wrap the table. Okay, let's go. I haven't got time for this. I wanted to say, Coach, I'm taking my cue from you. But to your point about Kellen and adjusting at Philadelphia, it's really coaching 101. You're going to look at what you have, what they can do, what they can't do, what they're comfortable doing, and then you're going to tailor your offense to that. And if you notice, too, Philadelphia this year, their first 5-6 games, they were kind of sputtering a little bit offensively. And then I think finally, Kellen and the team, and obviously it takes you a while. You hope it doesn't take you a year to say, hey, I think we figured this out. But it took about 5-6 weeks, and they started doing the things that Jalen Hurts does well, not doing the things he doesn't do well. And obviously they had Saquon Barkley back there. But I'll say this now. Everybody points to that whole Saquon and the Giants are idiots, and Saquon's the best running back in NFL history. When he was with New York last year, he averaged 3.9 a carry. Now, that's not to say he's not a great back. He is. We know that. But the notion that he was going to do in New York what he has done this year in Philadelphia is just wrong. And I think Kellen's a big part of that with the play calling. And not only the play calling, I always kind of laugh at people say, oh, this guy's a good play caller, that guy's a good play caller. It's a three-part process. It's what you put in during the week, the plays you put in during the week, how you coach those plays during the week, and then Sunday you get the last third of it, which is the actual play calling.
Babe, when you look at it, would it surprise you what happened in Dallas? I know early on, so much talk about Deion. I never really quite bought that. I thought Jerry would do what Jerry normally does and hire somebody that you understand your role when you're the head coach with the Cowboys. And he goes to somebody in Brian Schottenheimer that, he had some history with. But, babe, it's the first time I've ever heard Brian talk for any length of time. Oh, my God, does he sound like his dad? I mean, that tone of voice is exactly like Marty's voice. And I was telling this to Bobby Monday night. I was like, man, Bobby, you got to hear it. And he was like, so we heard a little bit of the tape, and he's like, oh, my God, Mike, you're right. He sounds just like Marty. But was that a real surprise to you from the start once they couldn't come to terms anything long-term with Mike and for him to go with Brian Schottenheimer?
Yeah, and you say he sounds like his dad, Marty Schottenheimer. They hope that he wins like his dad.
Oh, yeah, that would be the second part.
His dad was very successful, but honestly, I've been in Dallas. I've been there ever since the Cowboys owner has owned the team. My last 2 years as a player were his first two as an owner. And I've been doing Cowboy games ever since. I think this is coming up on my 29th or 30th year, and if something surprises you, you haven't been following the team.
Yeah,
because nothing surprises me. Although, I mean, I was as surprised, obviously, as anyone about Brian Schottenheimer. But, you know, it's been 35 years of surprises, right? I was there when they fired Jimmy Johnson. And the next day, the very next day, we're in the same room where Jimmy and Jerry parted ways. The very next day, here's Barry introduced as a new head coach. He hadn't coached in 5 years, and he'd never... We're like, Barry Switzer. So, long and short, I've learned never to be surprised. You know, hey, can I maybe say one thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, what I was surprised about was your team. So the Cowboys get them in week two. So naturally, I'm looking at their first game. You get blowout Carolina, 47-10. And I said, well, okay, that's great. They look great, but, you know, it's Carolina. And then they come in to AT&T Stadium, blow out the Cowboys, 44-19. And I sat there and I was thinking, man, end of that game. I said, man, who's going to beat these guys? And as it turns out, everybody's going to beat them because the next seven, you guys had a seven-game losing streak. Yep. Is that correct after
that's
the
correct.
Cowboys? Yeah.
Yep.
Now, obviously decimated by injuries. But, man, that team over the first couple weeks, and I know you guys had to be excited down there, that team looked like a real playoff contending team that could do something in the playoffs. You ran it well. You know, I've been a fan of Derek Carr more so probably than most, but I thought with the veteran quarterback there and everything else around it, the offensive line, I thought, man, these guys are going to be a handful. And then the injuries came, and Cowboys had it last year, 49ers had it, you guys had it, and you just can't overcome them. Next man up is a great philosophy and a great term, and everybody says it, but the next man up is not as good as the guy he replaced.
Hey, tell me who the next man is. I tell them that all the time, babe.
Yeah.
That's great for the locker room. That's great, yep, to tell the press, but it ain't reality. It's right. Not at all. Charlie has a question
for
you, babe.
Before we let you run, I wanted to ask you about, you know, the comments made by guys like Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb about Kellen Moore. You know, he was there from 2019 through 2022 as an OC, but he was also there as a player beforehand. And so Dak kind of talked about becoming a rookie in 2016 and having him in the quarterback room and then later being coached under him and stuff like that. But some numbers, CBS Sports has a great article on this from a couple of years back, that the Cowboys from 2019 through 2022, when he was the OC, had plenty of success, 27.7 points per game, which was second in the league. Same thing in yards per game, 376.3. They were only second behind the Chiefs in that time span. And then Dak was asked about him leaving. He said, for me to come up under him and be in the quarterback room with him the next year before him taking over to be a quarterback coach, fast track to an OC, which he's been phenomenal at, a guy that sees the game, very innovative. He's going to try things. He's been a huge part of my career. I know that he's going to have a lot of success and wherever is next for him. And he just had rave reviews to say about him. Similar thing from CeeDee Lamb, and both guys just raved about this. Kellen Moore is a leader on the offensive side of the football. Just want to get your thoughts on kind of his exit from Dallas and, you know, what he meant to some of those players there with the Cowboys, that very successful run that they had offensively from 2019 through 2022.
As you pointed out, it was a very unique relationship he had with Dak Prescott, because one minute he's a quarterback in the quarterback room, the next minute he's in the quarterback room as a quarterback coach, and the next minute he's in the room as an offensive coordinator. But it's funny, too, because Kellen is young, if you will, by NFL standards of, I believe he's 36. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes.
I should have looked that up.
Yes,
okay.
He's 36.
But he's one of those guys, and I've been around him. You know, I've been in and around the NFL for 40 years now, and you can just tell. I've had teammates where I said, man, that guy's going to be a heck of a coach. And I've had other guys where I said, boy, that guy better not get into coaching because he's going to cost him some wins. But Kellen, his dad was a high school coach, very successful high school coach, who was doing a lot of progressive things in the passing game. So, you know, Kellen grew up with that. You're sitting around the dinner table and you've got that. So then you're at Boise. Again, they were more innovative at Boise back in the day when he was playing than most NFL teams. So while he's 36, I think the learning curve, he's way above that in terms of his experience and the people he's been around. No, I think I could not speak highly enough about Kellen Moore. He's going to be a great hire, if indeed he is a guy, which it appears he will be.
Babe, I won't let you go unless you give me a pick, Super Bowl Sunday. Who you like, Chiefs, Eagles?
Oh.
I know you ain't picking Eagles,
yeah,
though. I'd be surprised if you did.
No, listen. Where's this station? You're the flagship for who?
For the Saints.
Okay, and you're going to hire Kellen Moore. So I want you to have the winning offensive coordinator from the Super Bowl taking over your team. So I'm going to say Philadelphia.
There we go.
Okay, babe. When we get you on next time, I'll let you tell some ABAF stories. See, Bobby wasn't here today, but I know you had a short stint with the Saints. What's it, 86 that you
86,
came?
86, yeah.
Yeah, year one with Coach Mora. Oh, my God.
Bobby and I have been friends, and I see him occasionally. We've done the show. Is he avoiding me?
No. He's avoiding me.
Will you tell Bobby if we need to repair the relationship, I'm ready to get into counseling, okay?
Babe, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it, bud. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
All righty. Dallas Cowboy color analyst, also long time as a backup quarterback in the NFL, Babe Laufenberg. And so great to have him on each and every time. Man, he's colorful and great stories. And, man, just think the people he's been around, from Jimmy Johnson to Jerry Jones and Bill Parcells, all those great players when the Cowboys. And it's the great what could have been had they kept Jimmy.
Hey, man, I think still to this day, Jerry, even with his ego, has got to be kicking himself over and over about that, huh, Mike?
Yeah, I would think. But he'll never admit it.
He'll never admit it.
We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTellier along with Charlie Long in studio. Let's go back to our Oakwood Hard Jewelers Talk and Text line. Let's go to Jimmy and Gretna. Jimmy in the huddle with Mike and Charlie.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up? What's up?
Hey, man, look, I want to formally withdraw my name from the Saints head coaching pool, okay? I just want to make sure that's official.
Okay. Oof.
Jimmy from Gretna is officially pulling his name out the pool, okay?
All right, I got you.
I'm following in McCarthy's footsteps. No, I'm just joking.
Mike didn't even get a shot. I think Mike wanted to come here. I think powers to be said, no, we got our guy. Now, again, you can't announce that. You don't want to get in trouble with the NFL. We saw this happen with Gannon and the Cardinals. They got stripped of a couple draft choices because of that. But, Jimmy, here was the tip-off. When they had the whole brass get in that plane and fly to Philly and spend all that time with Kellen Moore and then no more interviews? Come on. You don't have to be Nostradamus about this. that sort of told you the story right then and there that they had their guy and they'll play by the NFL rules and wait until after Super Bowl Sunday and make the formal announcement because, man, the Saints have been in enough trouble with the NFL. You sure don't want them taking draft choices away from you.
Yeah, and that reminds me, that recent Drew Brees video he posted with the Bounty paper towels in the background.
I saw that.
A shot at the Bounty Gate thing. Everybody's got to check that out. Adam Schefter, I think, was talking to him about maybe coming back as some kind of administrative role down the road. Hey, look, listen, let me ask you about this Wink Martindale guy. I mean, it sounds like some kind of game show host from the 80s. I don't know who this guy is, but what's he have to do with Kellen Moore? And I do agree with you, Mike. Again, none. I think a lot of the same.
It's Mike Kafka that he has to do with, Jimmy.
Yeah, it's Kafka because he's got connection.
Kafka's tied to Wink Martindale.
Yeah,
okay,
with the Giants. Yeah.
I thought that was some game show host from the Family Feud or something with a name like that. But, I think a lot of the Saints fans are kind of fatigued. Even with the possibility of Aaron Glenn coming here, former, guys with affiliation. We saw that with Dennis Allen. We saw that with – we've seen this ongoing with Loomis. We saw it with Pete Carmichael. Let's keep him. It's from the Sean Payton from the dynasty. Let's keep Dennis Allen. Let's keep Loomis. And Aaron Glenn and Mike McCarthy. I know McCarthy was pre, Katrina, but having Saints ties, I think it's good if we do go with Kellen Moore from that standpoint. I'm fine with it. I think again, the fans are ready for something to happen. And like you guys have been saying, you're breaking down the Senior Bowl this weekend. We're going to need a lot of help. So I hope we get some diamonds in the rough. I will say this. I think Sean Payton had a lot to do. As we've seen the last few years with Loomis or whoever's in charge, Sean Payton had a lot of that last-minute input on who to get. the undrafted guys picking these guys that turned out to be stars, you know, late draft picks, Colston Streif, Pierre Thomas, Lance Moore. You know, we just haven't had that since. And you could tell that whoever's in charge of deciding this stuff has missed on a lot of this stuff. So I want to get your take on that going into
Jimmy,
the Senior Bowl.
Jimmy, I disagree on that. Because I think, you know, in talking to Sean, one of the things Coach Payton would always talk about, that he knew the top 100 players very well.
That's days one and two.
But he said, then after that, I've got to rely on my scouts. Okay, none of us are out there. None of us here are out there on the turf at Northwestern watching a player or, you know, at Oregon State or at Penn State. We have to rely on the scouts that's their region to tell us who to pick late and also as free agents. Now, Sean Payton was very good at once they signaled out a player that he would stay and get on that phone, and he was the recruiter at that point in time. But I know from talking to him about the draft, he was always about, I know the top 100 players very well, but then we got to rely on the scouts. Jeff Ireland is the guy behind the scenes here personnel-wise. You know, that's a big part of it here. And it has been since 2017. That was a great draft, 2017. But they haven't come close since to getting anything close to that. It is a personnel issue. Bottom line, you don't have enough players. You can bring in the best coach in the world. Coaching does matter, but you're a lot smarter coach when you got better players.
And look, Jaden is one thing, but one great draft class can change an org. The Washington Commanders are 4-13, Mike. And then they, 1 year turnaround, 12-5, they make it all the way to the NFC Championship game. It can't happen, but you got to hit on these draft picks.
Well, the Saints did it in 06. They got Drew Brees coming off a major injury, but look who they picked in the draft.
They did got Reggie Bush. As well.
They got Roman Harper. They got Jahri Evans. They got Marcus Colston. They got Zach Streif. They have Rob Ninkovich. Now, it didn't work out for him here, but he turned out to be a super player for the Patriots. And they swapped second-round picks, and they got a second. They got a center by the name of Jeff Fain, who became a big part of that run for them. No, that draft and Breeze changed the perplexion of this franchise for the next, 10 years.
And obviously, the quarterback's the most important part of that just one-season turnaround, but you got to start hitting on these picks, Mike. Like, you got to. And you're going to have a good amount, especially early on. The Marshawn Lattimore trade is looking better and better because you have.
Now hit on those picks.
You have to hit on those picks. And this is the one thing that worries me. And we're still a couple months away from the draft. I don't want to be moving up from pick 9 to go out and get. Just make sure that you get a Mason Graham. Look, I love Mason Graham. But don't just throw away, you know, the 2 third-round picks that you have or the second-round pick that you have to move up 4 spots in the first round. There are too many holes on this team. You have to use those picks, and you have to hit on them. It's just you can't, and it's Mickey's philosophy, right, that he always wants to move up in a draft. He never wants to move back.
My thing is, I'd like to move back.
That's what I'm saying. I'm very cool with moving back from pick 9, and it's a good spot to move back because look who's picking behind you, the Chicago Bears. Who do the Chicago Bears desperately need? Offensive line help. If any one of those teams in the teens wants to hop the Bears to pick 9 and make sure they get Will Campbell or Kelvin Banks or any of the top linemen on their board, the Saints should take that call.
No, my thing is, if I'm the Saints, I put it out there that I want Will Campbell.
Oh, yeah,
I want Will Campbell. And then see if somebody bites. Hey, I don't have to tell you the truth. I don't have to tell you exactly what I'm doing. Do like other teams do. They lie about it. Okay? They all do. It's part of the gamesmanship come draft time. Did anybody say that the Falcons were going to pick
Michael Penix?
Michael Penix? Nope. No. It kept that a secret.
The buzz, I think, was that the Raiders were interested in Penix, right?
Yeah, that they were trying to move up to get him. Also, Charlie, just broke a couple minutes ago. Tom Pelissero is reporting former Stanford head coach David Shaw has agreed to terms with the Detroit Lions, and he'll become their passing game coordinator. Ooh. Losing Ben Johnson, now they're bringing in David Shaw, the former Stanford head coach, and he worked with John Martin, who was brought in. So big hire for Dan Campbell there. Knew he had some big moccasins to fill with the loss of Ben Johnson, now the head coach of the Chicago Bears. We come back, finishing up here in hour number one, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here in hour number one of Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike DeTay along with Charlie Long in studio. Want to tell everybody, Bill Johnson, former Saints defensive line coach, now has been hired by the Chicago Bears. We'll be back with more Sports Talk right after this news break.